an outline this evening, but I think you'll be able to follow along with me. Titled the lesson, Destroyed for Lack of Knowledge. Then I had a subtitle for myself on this, and I just kind of put down the importance of knowledge. Why is knowledge so important? Especially Bible knowledge, because that's the theme. My definition of knowledge means to know, to understand, comprehend. It's a good word. Means you possess an intellectual hold of. That is, you have a grasp of something. It's a body of things that you know about. To discern. To recognize differences. So knowledge. So we sometimes say, oh, I know that. I mean, you have that information, you know, taken to your mind or taken to heart. I know that. You know, over the years, I've heard people say and people ask, and you may have heard some of these too, but I've lived long enough to have people ask me a lot of questions, but they'll ask, how old was Jesus when he joined the church? Knowledge. Or they may ask, to which denomination did Jesus belong? Some information lacking. They may ask, what was God standing on when he created the universe? Did God have a workbench? They may say. We've all heard this one. You know, like a visitor to the assembly, they'll say, you know, if you can't afford a piano, we can have a fundraiser, get one, I'll play the piano for you in your worship assembly. We need to have instruction why we don't use a piano in our assembly or instruments of music. I remember asking someone that we were about to visit, or asking one that was with me about a person we were going to visit. And I asked, are they members of the church? And they replied, oh yes, they're members of the Main Street Presbyterian Church. Okay. Need some instruction. Lack of knowledge. Or that I've heard this one more often too. Oh, our religion is to keep the Ten Commandments.
Why?
That's what I say. I put that right in my notes, Dennis. I answered my own question. I said, really? Why? So do you remember the Sabbath to keep it holy? One of the Ten Commandments. You know, the Ten Commandments makes no mention of the New Testament church. There's no mention in the Ten Commandments of being born again. In chapter 3, you must be born again. It's not the Ten Commandments. There's nothing in the Ten Commandments about remembering the first day of the week or receiving the Holy Spirit or partaking of the Lord's Supper. So much is missing. So the problem with knowledge is our lesson tonight. Knowledge. You know, so I titled it, Destroyed for Lack of Knowledge. And that's a biblical phrase. So with that in mind, you know, me as a preacher or anybody, a Bible class teacher, has to be aware of the audience's prior knowledge when giving a lesson. We, as a speaker, I have to recognize the various levels of Bible knowledge in the those who are in the assembly. I have to recognize, you know, the different levels of understanding. And so in my making my presentation, I need to be exact or clear, logical, as well as persuasive. So I, you know, but on the other hand, with many others, the problem is not a lack of knowledge, it's putting it into practice. See, Brian, I knew that. I remember Dennis Everett a while back, it's probably sometime last summer, but when I started getting into the habit of saying, this is a very familiar story. And one time Dennis came up to me afterwards and said, that wasn't a familiar story to me. I said, oh, that's right. So I need to be aware as a speaker of the various levels of knowledge, Bible information in the lives of those who are listening. I remember going before my dad And me just saying this, I have a flashback. But when I did something wrong and I would have to go front and center before my dad, the very first words were, "Ryan, you know better." Problem wasn't knowledge. Dad recognized that. You know better. So there had to be an explanation and consequences. But I knew better. But that was the first thing Dad reminded me of. Ryan, the problem is not knowledge. You just didn't put it into practice. So here's the, and the problem is not new. So here's the Bible references for you. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. So he gives this illustration of the animals, and you know, the ox, he has knowledge, he knows the owner. The donkey knows where the master's crib is.
That's right.
Well, I drive my car when I'm leaving the building and come home. We have a cat. It's an outside cat. But as soon as my car turns the corner to close the driveway, that cat comes running from different places, different days, from three houses up the street or across the street. That cat knows where his food is. He knows where he's going to be fed. Comes a running. But God said, or Hosea, the prophet said, Israel doesn't know. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 1, Hosea said, "Hear the word of the Lord." All right, listen up. "You children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. There's no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land." No knowledge of God. Here, God's people, they had the prophets, they had the preachers and the teachers, but the people wouldn't take it to knowledge. They wouldn't listen. So Hosea said, there's no truth or mercy or knowledge of God. Well, there should have been, because the prophets were there. And then in verse 6, Hosea 4, verse 6, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge," God said, "I also will reject you." You're destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, when you go to another country, you have an obligation to know their laws. There's an assumption that if you travel to another country, you're under an obligation to know what the rules are in that country. You cannot plead innocence. "I didn't know." It doesn't matter. There's still going to be consequences for violating that law. God says here, Hosea, God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You've rejected knowledge, so I'll reject you." The Apostle Paul, he speaks to the Gentile world first, and I'll talk about what he says to the Jews, but to the Gentile world. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verse 22, "They're professing to be wise, but they become fools." In verse 25, still in Romans chapter 1, "They change the truth of God for a lie." Lack of knowledge. In verse 28, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." Some people that just don't want to know about. Speak to someone about trying to correct them or give them instruction. They say, "Don't confuse me with the facts." In other words, I don't want to know. I'm very satisfied in the situation I'm in. Don't change me. And there are people like that in our community, our neighborhood, that don't tell me what the Bible says. I'm rejecting what the Bible says. I'm rejecting that particular thought or that particular verse. I don't want to have that in my knowledge, because if I did, I'd have to change. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul concludes again the Gentile world, "being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart." Is our lesson tonight? The importance of knowledge. They're alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. I don't want to know what the Bible says. Paul concludes in verse 20, still in Ephesians chapter 4. He says to the brethren, but you have not so learned Christ. Christianity is a talk to be taught. And to be taught the gospel message and respond in an appropriate way. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, he said, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, keep your heart. I want to know about God and his ways. Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So we are what we think. We're not what we think we are. We are what we think. So Paul said that concerned the Gentiles. Now this he says concerning the Jews. In Romans chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, Paul says, for I bear them witness. All right, Paul, what do you see? What's your testimony about these Jews? They have a zeal for God. Oh, all right. They have a zeal for God. That's good. Well, yo, yay, Jews. But not according to knowledge. You know, in our world today, if somebody has a zeal for God, well, we give them a certificate. We'll give them a commendation. All right, you have a zeal for God. But Paul said concerning these Jews, but not according to knowledge. And then he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness have not submitted to the righteousness of God. They've not submitted. Because I'm very satisfied with the religion that I'm in. I'm very satisfied in the way I think about God. Oh, the importance of knowledge. Importance of knowledge. Again, Paul said, he said to those Jews, so that's Romans chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. Now here's the remedy. What are you going to do about that? In Jesus' words, John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, that's a good start. Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, you're going to give them some applause? Right, right. Give them an attaboy. He said, now, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. Well, you wouldn't just didn't leave them in their belief. He didn't just say, believe anything you want to, or the belief that you have is okay. No, he said, if you abide in my word, then are you my disciples? So the importance of knowledge. Knowledge of God's word. Peter said it this way, the remedy. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You're not going to grow in knowledge of God unless you study God's word. God's revelation. Peter said it again, this time in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse beginning of verse 2. He said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. As his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. How do you know you have grace and truth from God? You'll only know that through knowledge of God's word. You can't say, I think I have the grace and the truth of God because I just feel it. Well, then that's subjective. This person over here feels something different. Now it's contradictory, and are you both right? I feel grace and truth from God. Well, so do I feel grace and truth from God. Yeah, but you're doing it differently than I am. You can't both be right. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. In verse 5, same text, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, knowledge. This is what I want you to add. Oh, you have faith? Good. All right, now I want you to add that to virtue to that, and to that I want you to add knowledge. Knowledge, important. In our lesson titled, the importance of knowledge. Verse 8 of still 2 Peter chapter 1. If these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge, again, must be pretty important. Look at all the verses we're using here. Jesus said it, Peter's saying it. Now here's what Paul said about it. Paul, what do you say? He's exhorting in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, or test all things, depending on the translation. So we want to hear somebody says something. I wonder how I know that's true. Well, I better open the pages of the Bible and see. How does what he says, or she, compare with what the Bible says? Knowledge. How do I know that what they're speaking is right? Unless I test it. Paul told Timothy, again from the words of Paul in the remedy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, says, be diligent. Another King James says, study to show or present yourself approved to God. Knowledge. Study. Be diligent. Be a worker that doesn't need to be ashamed because you rightly divided the word of truth. Here's an example of the remedy. In Acts 17, verse 11, these, mean the Bereans, were more fair-minded. Another translation, they were more noble. What's the compliment? What? For your nobility or your fair-mindedness. Than those in Thessalonica. In that, here it is, what's the remedy? They received the word with all readiness of mind. Well, that's a good thing. Knowledge. You received the word. Took it to heart. And they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. So here Paul is speaking and they, all right, Paul, whatever you said, I'm taking to heart. But, oh, wait a minute. This is the Apostle Paul. Let me check that out, Paul. You're going to challenge the Apostle Paul? This religious leader, you're going to search and see if this religious leader is speaking the right way? Yes, I am. You're going to, this chosen missionary of God, and you're going to search the scriptures to see if what he says is true? Yes, I am. I'll even challenge you with me on that one. You don't accept just what I see in the scriptures. Improving it. Make sure it's biblical. I'll close with this one. This is a Barnes chart. It's on our bulletin board in the foyer. What comes after baptism? So you've got that primary knowledge. You've obeyed the gospel message. There's some benefits he mentions on the left-hand side. Now that I'm a Christian, and the verses are all there. You take it down from the bulletin board and take it home and photocopy it, then bring it back and put it back up for somebody else. But now that you're a Christian, you're a new person. You've been forgiven. You're in Christ Jesus. You're reconciled to God. You're adopted into God's family. You've been added to the Lord's church. You are accepted of God. You are an heir of the hope of eternal life. Did you know that? Knowledge. I mean, all of that, I didn't know that. Right there. And then now that I'm a Christian, I must, and I numbered these because there's 24 things. Now that I'm a Christian, grow, study the Bible, be faithful, seek God first, pray, attend, worship in spirit and in truth, partake the Lord's Supper, give as I've been prospered, sing and make melody in my heart, add the Christian graces, grow in grace and knowledge, demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, love the brethren, be ready unto good works, do good to all people, set a good example, be honest, modest, teach others, bring forth fruit to God, help bear the burdens of others, overcome evil with good, walk worthily of God. There's a good start. You can add to that list. That doesn't exhaust the list. There's 24 things. Did you know that? Like I said, you can take that down from the bulletin board, photocopy yourself like I did. The importance of knowledge. Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They're destroyed. Because they've rejected knowledge, God said, I will reject them. Don't reject knowledge. Search and study the scriptures. Why is knowledge so important? Jesus said it in John 12, verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my words, right? We don't receive the words of Jesus, has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day. You're going to be judged not by me, not by any other religious leader in any other religious church or denomination or whatever it is. You're going to be judged by them. Knowledge? The importance of knowledge? Jesus, the words of Jesus, the highest power. He said in Matthew 20, I have all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. There's nobody on earth that has authority more than Jesus. Nobody. Did you know that? So Jesus said, there's one that judges him. One that judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him in the last day. For I've not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a commandment of what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. You're going to be judged by the words of the Bible. Did you know that? You're not going to be judged by a manual, a church manual, a church book of discipline. You're not going to be judged by the Apostles' Creed that's been written by a denomination. You're not going to be judged by any human written edict. Importance of knowledge. Well, there it is. If you want a copy of my notes, just ask me. I have photocopies. Only 3 pages. Two and a half. But I say a lot more than I have written. These are just my notes. But if you want a copy of all the scriptures, you'll just tell me. I'll make a photocopy of them and give them to you. And you can take this one off the bulletin board. Barnes charts, Bible charts. All right, at the close of every lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. You're subject to it if you've not obeyed the gospel message already. Repent and be baptized, Jesus said, for the remission of sins. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I believe that. That's Bible. That's Bible. The last verses of Matthew 28, go into all the world, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them all knowledge. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Go on with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. I didn't make that up. Wasn't my idea. It's Bible. It's knowledge. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. If you're subject to it, you're very welcome to respond in a public way after the singing of this selected chorus. If that's your desire, your resolve, to simply let it be known at the close of this.